The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Warning, warning, everybody. Millennial in the house. Brooke Medina, who is the Vice President of Communications for the John Locke Foundation, a longtime friend, a sister in Christ, a great wife, a great mother, military family. Welcome back. How are you? Millennial. You're like one of my favorite millennials.
Thank you. You're one of my favorite
old people.
Yeah. Thank you. You're not that much older.
Are you tired of I'm a lot older than you are. Are you tired of the whole millennial thing?
I mean, no, because it makes me feel young, but once the boomers stop referring to millennials as like young people,
right.
And because they're still lumping us with like 23-year-olds.
Right, right.
We're almost 40.
Right.
So
yeah, which is, you know, serious. That's mature.
Reach
maturity when you get to 40.
It is, or at least some of us.
I will be 56 next month.
Oof.
Is that shocking to you?
It's very shocking.
No, it isn't. But I appreciate you saying that. Anyway, welcome back. It's great to see you. And we've got a lot to talk about today, so we're going to rip through this list. It's something that Del Tackett, who was with Focus on the Family and did something called the Truth Project years ago, which I've taught many times, probably 8 or 9 times. There was a line in there, Brooke, that I've always held on to and remembered. And Del Tackett at one point in this series, which is really a worldview training series, said, "We forget what we should remember, and we remember what we should forget," which is a great way of thinking as a Christian. And now that I'm teaching U.S. history, it's even more prevalent in my life because there's so much that we can learn from things in the past, but we tend to forget them. From a gospel perspective, we tend to remember things that we shouldn't and things that have already been placed under the blood. But when it comes to history and what happens in a year-by-year basis, there's a lot of fruit on that tree that we can learn from. So as you work with a think tank like John Locke, how much do you kind of deal with, here's what has happened, here's where we are now versus what's going on in the future? How does this play into your career?
Yeah, well, a lot of what we do in public policy, of course, most people don't think about policy unless they're thinking in terms of election cycles,
right,
or whatever is like headlining on CNN. But we try to make sure that we have the long view in mind. But also something that we started before our merger. So John Locke Foundation merged with Civitas Institute 1 year ago. But we put out this website called abettercarolina.com. And there you can actually look back, and there's a section called Then and Now. And we're able to repeatedly and regularly look back at where North Carolina was at back in back when, frankly, the progressives controlled the legislature.
For over 100 years, I might add.
For over 100 years, using gerrymandered maps. and the state that our state was in, as it pertains to the tax climate, the business climate, school choice climate, all of those things, to where we're at today. In North Carolina, we have it really good. I'm not saying that there aren't things that we need to improve on or battles we need to address. But on the whole, North Carolina, we're now one of the most the fastest growing states, the best business tax climate. We're about to rescind or roll back the corporate income tax, which is going to welcome even more businesses, which means bigger paychecks.
Yeah, for everybody.
For everybody. And so we're making a lot of progress. We are the top homeschooling state in the nation.
Yes.
We are consistently expanding school choice. Our governor, who actually has been fairly opposed to school choice, he ended up signing a budget that expanded opportunity scholarships after not signing a budget for several years. And so, I mean, we're making good progress.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful, but it is good to look back at where we came from and also consider where we're going.
Well, there's a lot of lessons to learn from the past, and not the least of which, as you just mentioned, is be able to appreciate where we are today. And in a news cycle that's mostly negative, if you're here in North Carolina, you have a lot to be thankful for. And I just saw this article the other day, Brooke, that they're projecting, get this, as if the real estate market wasn't crazy enough and hot enough already. They're projecting in the Triangle area that home values in 2022 will increase by, wait for it, 24%.
Oh my gosh.
24%.
I haven't read that one
so
yet.
So if your house is worth $400,000 today, it'll be worth $500,000 at the end of the
That's
year.
Incredible.
It's amazing. So there's a lot of things to be thankful for here in North Carolina, but we need to continue to look at the past and learn from it. There's things that we want to improve on and things that we don't want to repeat. Mm-hmm. But 2021, just in general, how would you classify the year and whatever terminology Whew. You want to use?
Oh, that's a good one. I would say it was a year that tested a lot of people's resolve and their love for their fellow man.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And again, I mean, I try to be conscious of the fact that I work in the policy world, and it's easy to kind of get tunnel vision mm-hmm. and think only in terms of politics. And so actually a lot of what I've read in 2021 in terms of books and things I've watched, I've tried to get out of that arena so that I can have some space to breathe. And I would say that 2021 was certainly a year that we grappled with our humanity, mm-hmm. whether for good or for ill. When we're thinking about what happened in Afghanistan, when we're thinking about the numbers, scores of people lost because of COVID or deaths of despair, the learning loss with children, like these were deep and difficult
yeah.
things to grapple with. And I think it provided us an opportunity to memento mori, to remember that our days are numbered.
Yeah, that's right. And that's such an important concept. And last night I was doing a Bible study with my son and some of his friends at our house. And we were eating some popcorn. We make popcorn the old-fashioned way at the Noble House. We actually do it on the stove.
Is it kettle corn? I hope it was kettle
It's really
corn.
Good. Well, no, it's not kettle corn okay. because my wife's more health conscious than that. But I took one little – there's a picture on the wall. This is in the big bonus room where I teach four of my classes. And I just put a little popcorn thing up on the top of the picture. So it's there in a rather large bonus room. And I said, okay, this is your 78 years of life here on Earth. And then all the cubic inches of this entire room, in fact, the entire house, is your eternity in heaven if you're in Christ. So when you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad year, it's 2021. In the grand scheme of things, you should be able to classify that and make it into what it actually is, mm-hmm. which is not a whole lot in the grand scheme of things. However, we do live in the here and the now, and it's important. And so yeah. there is that tension, and that's going to be one of the books that I mentioned when we get to that. My friend Caleb Kaltenbeck wrote about it. Messy Grace was his first book, and then Messy Truth came out last year. Is this tension of the Christian life that we have so much to look forward to, Brooke, in Christ, but we live in the here and the now. We have 330 million neighbors, and all that stuff matters. Mm-hmm. And so we don't just blow things off and look forward to heaven. No, we live in the here and the now. God left us here. He didn't save us and pull us out. Yeah. So we have to engage. And the challenge is to keep that balance, which is why I appreciate you saying you read some things so that you had some room to breathe, mm-hmm. because I don't know that most of us take the time to do that, which is why 2021 was such an interesting year, which we're going to keep talking about. We've got a lot of things we're going to kind of popcorn through, keep that theme going. And then in the second half of the show, we'll look ahead into this year and see what might be on the radar screen for us. We're here with Brooke Medina from the John Locke Foundation. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. It might seem crazy, Lock always wins. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Happy New Year. Looking back at 2021 with Brooke Medina. She's with the John Locke Foundation, the head poobah of communication over there. Is that can I call you the head poobah?
I will allow it.
Is that okay? You will. Oh, you
You're
will
permitted.
Allow it. That's excellent. Thank you. I appreciate your permission. It's great to have you back. Brooke and I have known each other for a while, and our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know her husband, who's a great guy, former military. And so we've kind of grown up a little bit together in the last 10 years in this arena. So I always look forward to having Brooke on the show. Brilliant young woman who loves the Lord and is a great communicator. So that's always helpful. And it's helpful to have your perspective. You're a few years behind most of us. And so we need to have more communication between the age classes, not less. Mm-hmm. We have less, and that's not helpful. Mm-hmm. So that's why every week, like I had 115 students last semester. I have like 106 this semester. And so to spend as much time as I do with people between the ages of 15 and 18 is really fruitful. Mm-hmm. It's really important. They almost never have conversations with people in my age range or even your age range. So that's why I always enjoy having you on. So thanks for your time as always.
Thank you.
2021 in review, uncertainty and post-election schisms. Is it worse than you thought it was going to be going from Trump to Biden and then the Biden administration in general?
Yeah, I've had a few moments, you know, and just it doesn't seem like things are necessarily getting better on the political
yeah.
front whatsoever. And thankfully, that's not where my hope is. And honestly, I would say that this should be an invitation, like what we're seeing play out at the federal level, whether it was right after the election to January 6th to Biden's handling of everything and maybe mishandling
yes.
of a lot of things.
Yes.
Is that state and local politics mm-hmm. is pretty darn important.
Preach it.
And a lot of what we look to the federal government to solve is they have no business or no constitutional
right.
mandate to
That's
do
right.
so. And so I think if anything, and we actually can look at the Virginia election of Glenn Youngkin and Winsome Sears as a lesson that that people are becoming more active mm-hmm. in their local and state elections. And looking in those arenas to affect change, because they are starting to wake up to the fact that yeah. that Washington is broken. It's been broken for some time. But one thing I saw, we didn't talk about this earlier. One thing I saw on Twitter the other day that disturbed me was I saw that there were some folks on the right that were younger commentators talking about how the Constitution just isn't working. If the Constitution actually worked, then we wouldn't be in this mess that we're in.
Yeah, I saw another article recently that just said the Constitution is all but dead.
Yeah.
And which is a fatalistic perspective. I think it's terribly inaccurate.
Yes.
And I also think that partially it's clickbait. That's the challenge
sure.
which we all have to remember. Whether we're talking about Twitter, Instagram, mainstream media, podcasts, whatever, there's so many people talking that the only way you get through is you better be an effective marketer and you better be good at clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, nobody's going to notice you. If nobody notices you, you can't make any money. So I always remember that everybody's selling all the time. But yeah, that's a fatalistic perspective. I understand the concern, and I'm concerned about the overall stability of the U.S. Constitution. But it's still, for the most part, is the rule of the land. For
yeah,
the most part.
Well, and I would say, and I would argue, when you look at countries around the world who do not have the protections enshrined in their governments and their codes, including Europe. For example, I just finished writing a chapter for a book that will be coming out in November. It's called The Digital Public Square. And I wrote a chapter on hate speech policies. And looking at just even countries in Europe, they don't have freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Enshrined into anything. And so if something seems like it's violence in terms of speech, mm-hmm. I'm not talking about like imminent threats of someone's actual
right.
life.
But a school board
but
meeting and a parent's
offensive.
Parent stuff, right.
Yeah. Like there are no protections
yeah.
for that person.
They can't point to anything.
And
that's
yet
enshrined.
Repeatedly our Supreme Court over the decades has continued to affirm the yeah. First Amendment on this front. And so When I hear some of the people have that sort of fatalistic mindset, that really bothers me, especially when these are people on the right that should be the most ardent defenders
right.
of the Constitution.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to, that's a so. Towel you do not want to throw in. So that's a great point. Labor market woes, job openings at a near all-time high of 10.6 million. 3% of workers quit in November. That was a shocking. I remember that when that happened. You're like, what? All these
yeah.
people quitting.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing. I mean, for a while, and I even wrote about this where I thought, you know, over the summertime, people were still getting enhanced unemployment
yes.
benefits.
Nice
and so we can certainly understand why some people
yeah.
chose not to go to work
yeah.
if
oh.
they're earning a minimum wage. That's not the case anymore. That's not it hasn't been extended. But people are just tired. People are tired. Some people are fearful. Some people don't want to get vaccinated
yeah.
and their employer might require it. There is just so much heavy-handedness
mm-hmm.
at play in the labor market. And then I would say the private businesses' inability to keep up with the inflation and cost of living is going to be another problematic
yeah.
thing as they look to try to incentivize yeah. people to come into their companies.
Yeah, those are all – I would line a lot of those dominoes up behind COVID. I've been using that language since March 2 years ago, saying there's all these different dominoes lining up behind
yeah.
COVID. You mentioned education and children earlier. That was a huge one. Inflation, this is a big deal. Rise in crypto, NFTs, more everyday items become unaffordable for Americans. The numbers are off the charts for a lot of things. Used car prices are up over 30%, which
yeah.
is shocking. Your used car appreciated.
They tried
yes.
to buy my husband's Chevy back from him.
Yeah,
he got an
crazy.
Email because he has that semiconductor chip and the fuel efficiency feature in his truck. And so they were going to buy it back for more than we paid for it. But
yeah, it's crazy.
Then we would have to find another car.
Yeah, and inflation comes up every week when we do a segment on Mondays, Money Monday. We're always talking about inflation. So
have you guys talked
deal.
About crypto at all?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and I've got an expert coming up on crypto in the next couple of months. And, you know, it's fascinating. I mean, I've got some money in crypto, not a ton, but it's fascinating to watch it. It's a part of the future
mm-hmm.
of the world and where that's going to go. Some people say it is the future. Other people say it's all going to collapse. That's just part of the instability that we're in, part of the spirit of the age and the world shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pay attention, but I don't sink anything down into it too deep because
yeah.
that's why build your house on that sand as opposed to the rock. Ever Given. I asked you about this. I'm like, what is Ever Given? Everybody will remember as soon as you explain it.
Yeah, the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal and messed up all of our shelves, essentially leaving them bare and empty.
Which was crazy. And I just saw a picture the other day. It's one of the pictures of the year with a guy like with a forklift or a
trying to dig it out. It's so cute. Massive... It's like there's massive Ever Given in this.
That was crazy. And then on a related subject, you had the gas shortage due to the Colonial Pipeline hack.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot that.
I did too until I was, I ripped off part of a year in review from Wall Street Journal and I was like, oh my, oh yeah. And I remember that was that inspired me certainly just to make sure that all of our digital assets were as secure as they can be. And I think that's a wise thing for everyone to do.
That's crazy.
Just go check out the settings, even in your social media accounts. Make sure your stuff is on private, unless you want to have a public social media account. But make sure you know what you're doing there.
That's right. Well, here's another thing that was interesting. I saw this meme the other day. The Bernie Sanders picture with the winter coat and the mittens. Remember? Somebody wrote him. That was a year ago. I was like,
that
what?
Feels
that
like
was
a decade
like two or three
ago.
Years ago. No, it was January. It was the inauguration last year. COVID losses, specifically, this part is fascinating. I hadn't seen this. Drop in U.S. life expectancy. Talk about that.
Yeah. So this is the most marked steep drop since World War II. 1.5 year decline in U.S. life expectancy over 2020.
And given the numbers, I would say... Is COVID the bigger factor there? I would think it's more the dominoes lining up behind COVID than COVID itself.
It's a confluence of things,
to be
sure.
Yeah, it's crazy, but that's a shocking thing. Of course, we'll talk about Afghanistan. We'll talk about school boards, a couple other things, best movies and books, and then we'll talk about 2022 when we come back with Brooke Medina. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with Brooke Medina from the John Locke Foundation, kind of taking a look back at some of the big stories of 2021, and in a minute we'll push into 2022. Speaking of 2022, something coming up that you guys are doing at the John Locke Foundation, the Carolina Liberty Conference coming up in February 25th, that's here in Raleigh. Tell us a little bit about that, Brooke.
Very excited about this. So Carolina Liberty Conference is the place to be February 25th through 26th. It is a conference bringing together big names from across the nation, across the state, grassroots activists, donors, all throughout the state for 2 days here in Raleigh at the Crabtree Valley Marriott. And we're going to have a lot of fun things. We will have press there as well. We'll have Radio Row area. So maybe you can join us too, Steve. We will have a lot of great keynote speakers, and that will be some of those names will be released starting tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Okay, cool. So how do people find out more information? I've got a link here that I'm going to put up right now on Facebook Live, so you can find that on the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook. But how do they get there? How do they find
it? So if you go to lockclc.com, so that's LOCKECLC.com. That will take you to all of the information that you need for the conference. And we would love to see you there. And if you end up making it there, feel free to stop by and say hello.
Yeah, that'd be great. So that's coming up on Friday, February 25th. That's in the evening. And then Saturday for the full day on February 25th and 26th. Again, that's right here in Raleigh at the Raleigh Marriott Crabtree Valley. So we'll keep talking about that. We'll talk about it some more as we get closer and remind people about that. A couple more stories from 2021. Afghanistan. Which was a colossal blunder. I think what we'll see happen with the shellacking that's due to happen in November is all of a sudden the Republicans will certainly take the House. They might take the Senate. But I think it's going to be investigation galore. And I think probably Afghanistan will be front and center on that to see what happened there. Now, for you, as with a military family and a military background, what was that like to watch?
Oh, man, my emotions were all over the place watching that. It just broke my heart. Quite frankly, just to see, and full disclosure, my husband and I actually come down differently on the Afghanistan take. He is a little bit more pragmatic about some of this stuff, and you know, I defer to him in terms of expertise on this front.
Sure.
He's the one that spent time over there. But in terms of the foreign policy angle of this, and just the way in which we started the war. And then continued the war and created these nebulous goals. I mean, so this didn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah, that's right.
But nonetheless, it ended air quotes, under President Joe Biden's watch, and the way in which it ended was, in my opinion, just disastrous. And create, I mean, we lost lives needlessly, looked like we were incompetent on the world stage.
Remarkably so.
And that's the last thing we need to sort of put ourselves forward as, or that sort of persona.
Yeah, that was massively dangerous in the fifth or sixth month of a new president.
Yeah.
To have that kind of colossal foreign policy disaster and military disaster, because it just puts up a flag for the rest of the world and those that would seek our destruction that, okay, this is the type of guy we have in the White House. And, mm-hmm. and I agree with you.
Weak need is how it came
across. Weak need is how it came across. And then politically driven by some arbitrary date, which we call 9/11. Like, we got to get, like, that mm-hmm. matters. It doesn't matter.
Try telling that to the families who lost loved ones. I mean, like, give me a break.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, really disgusting. The school board drama. You mentioned this earlier, alluded to this. This was invigorating to me. I remember being taken to people to school board meetings years ago here in Raleigh and having moms. You know, this isn't new. Just so, FYI, everybody. This goes back to 2005, 2006, 2007 when we were really busy at Call to Action fighting this stuff. And I had a mom read segments of a book at a school board meeting that would make your hair fall out because it was so disgusting. I went on back in the day. This is before you got involved. Jerry Agar had a big show on here before Rush Limbaugh came to town. And we spent a couple hours on there talking about these books that we found through some parents that were in the Wake County public school system. They would not allow me to read an excerpt on the air because it was an FCC violation. They're like, we're going to get hammered if we read any of this. The stuff that you want to read, you can't read it. We're going to get fined like crazy.
But yet our children should be reading.
But yet it's the middle school down the street. And so they allowed me for 30 seconds. The producer said, 30 seconds, I'm going to cut your mic. Change every obvious word and every word that has an implication to the word farm, F-A-R-M. 30 seconds. So if you go more than 30 seconds, I'm going to cut your mic and you're going to leave. I'm like, okay, fine. As soon as I started reading it, you would know exactly what words go there. Mm-hmm. It was shocking. But that I was very encouraged by what I saw with all the school board drama, even though they're all obviously domestic terrorists.
Yeah. I would say 2021, this is one of the ways I should have characterized it when you asked me at the beginning of the show. The year of school choice, like,
yes.
For real. This is Amen. The year that parents took back their child's education. Doesn't mean that fights aren't still happening. We're seeing the headlines with what's going down in Chicago and certain teachers' unions implying that these are their kids.
Yeah. Jeez.
But parents have... I don't think it was a lack of desire to fight before. I don't think they realized the stakes that were – the things that were at stake earlier before the pandemic.
And I don't think they wanted to know. I think a lot of us just kind of go, listen, we know a lot of nice teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly my kids' teachers are nice. And that's the end of it. You don't want to pull the cover off of it for fear of what you're going to
find.
Right.
But parents have mobilized all across the nation. We've seen it locally. We actually just – opened up a grassroots outreach department at the John Locke Foundation, and one of those team members exclusively works on education and mobilizing with parents. And so actually this month is school choice month, and so we will be hosting a statewide school choice specific poll.
That's
and we're
awesome.
Going to poll all the North Carolinians, you know, likely voters that are North Carolinians, and get their assessment. But school choice is on the rise, especially among minority communities, which that has proven in Florida and in Virginia, that has proven to be a tipping point voting block. Yeah. And so I'm excited about the 2022 elections. I think that we're going to see even more pushback from parents. And it's not just pushback for pushback's sake. It's because they realize that their kids deserve something better than what the government and the public school monopoly are trying to shove down their throats.
Yeah, and trying to shove down their throats and the arrogance of them to say, hey, just give us your kids, which is what they've wanted for 100 years, and stay out of our way because we handle the education. You parents don't know what you're talking about. And sometimes that's what it takes. The stench has to get so bad that people just have no choice but to get involved, which
we
saw in Virginia. I'm super excited about that as well. Okay, now we're tapping into your intelligence with this one. Internecine conservative wars. Please explain.
Well, I would say the mainstream language for this is the division between Trumpers and never Trumpers on the right. But if you follow some of the maybe more verbose or wordy conservative intellectuals. I mean, there are some real schisms in the conservative movement, and it is. There are fault lines that are being exposed. So some people would say, well, it's a break between the real conservatives and the libertarians. Sure. It's different than that, I would say, though. And I believe the fault lines really deal with those who are in favor of using the government's power to affect their preferred policy changes, you know, because they have good motives. And those who would say, no, I think the government needs to be limited regardless of who is in power. Right. And so, to me, what I am concerned about is seeing more and more calls by those who are on the right calling for more government intervention. Yeah. And I'm not saying that there's no role for government, but what I'm saying is once you open that sort of role that goes beyond the Constitution, yeah, you've opened a Pandora's box, and you should never bet on your side always being in power.
That's right.
And those same levers that you've created can be used against you.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what I always remind people.
So keep your government small.
That's right. Keep your government small. I remind people all the time. You might like it when it's your guy, but when it's the other person's guy, you complain. And when that happens, that means you're intellectually dishonest and you're not thinking about the big picture. It all depends on whose ox is getting gored. And yeah, that's going to be the destruction of the country, or certainly one of the things. Okay, let's have some fun for a minute. Then we'll go into 2022. Favorite movies of the year. I'm a huge movie person, so be careful.
I'm gonna let you run with this, and then I'll interject.
All right, so here, I just came up with a list of some of my favorite movies for the year, and all for very different reasons. Free Guy. Oh, you got to see that. Free,
okay,
Guy. So it's kind of a metaverse thing, so that's Free Guy. Ryan Reynolds. Dune.
Yes, I like that one.
Dune was like
all the spice.
It was art.
I mean, it was very good.
Cinematography is amazing. Spider-Man Far From Home, that was a blast.
I've heard that. My kids saw that.
That was a blast, especially because the first Spider-Man movie with Tobey Maguire was 2002.
Ooh.
That's crazy.
That was a long time ago.
So if you've been a longtime Spider-Man fan, now this was on Hulu that I would say everybody needs to watch, and most people have never even heard of it. It was a series with Michael Keaton called Dope Sick, which was all about the fight against opioids.
Okay.
Specifically OxyContin, which in the environment we're in right now, I would watch this once a week when it came out. It's on Hulu, called Dope Sick, one word, Dope Sick, which was what happens to you when you get on OxyContin and things like that. And I was so mad every night. I was enraged. Mm-hmm. And in the context that we're at now with Big Pharma and everything going on with COVID, I almost lost my mind every week when I watched it, but it's an important watch. Dope Sick. The Courier, which was with Benedict Cumberbatch, that was great. Moratorium, which was about one of the guys being held down at Guantanamo Bay. Dream Horse, did you see that one? Oh, you got it. All right, I'm going to give you this list. And then, believe it or not, Godzilla versus King Kong.
Okay. I wasn't expecting
right,
that one.
Well, that's going back to my childhood. So a couple things there. We'll get Brooke's opinion on that. Then we'll talk about 2022. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Steve Noble.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, here today with Brooke Medina from the John Locke Foundation, finishing up our conversation about looking back at 2021 and moving into 2022. So do you have some favorite movies from last year? We were talking about that. And then we'll talk about books because you're so intellectual.
Yes,
but I'm sure you spend way more time reading than you do watching movies.
No, I spent far too much time on Twitter, reading the headlines and getting upset and then just praying through it before I tweet. So best movies, I really liked Dune. I liked Dune a lot. And honestly, I really struggled to remember what else I've watched this year. I just keep going back to Les Mis, how much I love Les Mis.
Come on. Get out of the past. It's all right.
I'm going to give you my
list as a way to bless you and your husband. And
read
your
Steve's list, y'all.
I'll give you help with that.
And watch Les Mis, the Hugh Jackman version with Anne Hathaway.
It's so good.
And sing along with it. I cry every time.
It's so good.
I cry
I'll
every
time. Give you that. Oh. It's really amazing. I loved it too. It's incredible.
Yes.
What about books?
Okay.
You mentioned earlier because you were trying to read some books that were outside of the world of policy.
Yeah, for sure. So I have actually, I've revisited a couple of my favorite C.S. Lewis books. One that I would recommend to your audience, a lot of people hear C.S. Lewis and first off, he is like often misquoted. It's so funny. So if you're ever going to like quote C.S. Lewis, just do a quick Google search, make sure you're actually quoting the right
something
one, because some of these other people like make up stuff about him.
Oh, gosh.
But a lot of people think about him through The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. But there is a great book of his called Till We Have Faces. And that is like a modern retelling of the myth of Cupid and Psyche. But it has such spiritual meaning in it. Wow. So Till We Have Faces, that's a very centering one. Just because it follows this young woman named Oriel, and she battles the holy places. Like, she's trying to grapple with what holiness really is. And she is constantly, it's like an affront to her, and she just has to grapple with the love of God, essentially, not looking like how she thought it would look.
That's
really, really good. Also, so C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald. So I'm going to give you some like old authors' names. George MacDonald wrote this book called Fantasties. So he was a theologian, but also a fairy tale writer from like the 1800s.
Wow.
And so he wrote a book called The Day Boy and the Night Girl. That one's a really good one. So I've been reading a lot of fairy tales. And so a couple of new ones that just came out this year, and I actually just did a Facebook Live interview with these authors. One's called Mountain Folk, and it has to do with a lot of North Carolina lore.
Wow.
And the U.S. founding and the Revolution. So that's kind of like a fairy tale myth, but with a historical twist to it. And that's by John Hood. And so he wrote that. He's a local North Carolina author. And then Stephen Kent, you're going to like this one. I will actually bring you a copy the next time I see you. It's How the Force Can Save the World. And
it's talking about
the importance of hope and humility and lessons from Star Wars.
There you go. Yeah, so. I can't believe you didn't get that for me already.
Yeah, well, in my mind, I did, and I forgot.
Thank you. So. That's like giving me something in the metaverse. Thanks, I appreciate
it. Yeah, it's an NFT. It's an NFT of sentiments.
One of my favorites that I actually had the author on as well, Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl Truman. If you want to know how we got to the point in this culture and around the world where a man can say, I'm a woman born in a man's body. That's not just the sexual revolution in the 1960s. That's got about a 600-year arc to it. Hmm. It's an incredibly thought-provoking book, one of the most difficult books I've read in a while in terms of getting through it because it's so weighty. But it's real eye-opening, just amazing. And I interviewed him back in August, so if you want to look that up on the podcast, you can. And then Messy Truth from my friend Caleb Kaltenbach, who wrote Messy Grace, and then Messy Truth, which is really the fight that we're in. How do you engage a culture that doesn't agree with pretty much anything you hold true? In a way that's full of grace and mercy with compassion. It's been my battle, personal battle, for 20 years. Yeah. So that's another great one. Okay, looking ahead, 2022, what are you hopeful about? Anything? Anything looks good here?
I am. So one of them we already touched on, that's school choice. I really, really think that we're going to continue to see an exodus out of the public school system, which, and that's not because I'm opposed to people being in the public school system, but I think that families are realizing that they have not had as much operational control as they deserved in their child's education. And so we're going to see an expansion of school choice. I'm excited about technological advances. I think, you know, Web3 and Metaverse, I think there are some areas in which we're able to leverage that and use it to reach new people. Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. When we're talking about like the environment, our energy is becoming cleaner. That's the greenhouse gases are reducing. I mean, so there's a lot of good news on that front, and we're becoming more resourceful and not using as many resources each and every time.
Let me ask you a quick question on that subject. I don't know if you've looked into it at all. It's always curious to me. Nuclear is so efficient. It's so clean, but it's got there's some kind of veil over it. I think it's because of the past and people assume it's going to be Three Mile Island again. But it's amazing to me that nobody wants to touch that. That would be a great.
We want to touch it at John Locke Foundation.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, why we're not building nuclear power plants is remarkable to me.
Yeah, I think that part of it is because of the bad taste in certain people's mouths. But I'll tell you what, something I listened to someone who specializes in regulation talk about nuclear. And what they were saying is essentially we have frozen nuclear in time at this juncture. And so we haven't even been able to completely glean all of the possibilities from it because we've been so afraid of what could happen. And so we've created all of these regulatory burdens that we've not been able to innovate further. Jeez. I mean, because we could maybe one day have many nuclear reactors in our backyard.
Yeah.
So So, and once again, it is a very clean form of energy. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the other reasons why nuclear isn't spoken about as much is because there's a lot of lobbyists for wind and solar energy.
Right.
And so there's a lot of money on that front to be made, even if it's not nearly as efficient or as reliable. Yeah. It's a lot more costly. And at the end of the day, oftentimes when you're using a wind or solar, you have to have like a fossil fuel or
yes,
nuclear backup.
Yes.
So
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great point. Advances in medicine. I'm sitting there going, oh, no. Do you want to talk about COVID again? All right.
I don't really want to talk about COVID.
Real quick, advances in medicine. What do you see? What's out there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think that different advances in terms of just, okay, well, do we have to – I was going to bring up the vaccine.
Go ahead.
That's a great thing. I think that the ubiquity of the vaccine and the – when we removed regulatory burdens, the quickness with
that
which it was
something.
Able to be created and rolled out, I think that's
out
very encouraging. And so I think that advances in other medicines, as we've learned from that experience, that we can roll back certain regulations and it will speed access to market for certain life-saving medicines is a really good thing. Hey, and even we probably wouldn't know about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin.
Right. Yeah,
if this hadn't happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You mentioned this earlier. I totally agree. North Carolina's good trajectory in policy and freedom. The state's really on a good trajectory. It'll be interesting next November if they can pull off a veto-proof majority. Then, just like with Biden, Cooper's second half of his term will be toast. They can
right.
do whatever they want.
Right. And, I mean, it's interesting because it would be wise for us to recognize that we are actually now under our 666th day of the state of emergency here in North Carolina. Jeez. So our governor
What's
is continuing to 666.
Oh,
666.
Charming.
So that's going on right now. But even so, we have still made so many policy gains. Mm-hmm. We have passed a really good budget. We have expanded school choice. We have been lowering the personal income tax and the corporate income tax. Things that your state government should be doing,
yeah.
we're doing. And
point.
I think that's encouraging. We're shoring up our elections. We've made progress on the election security front. So good stuff.
Yeah, that's all good. Okay, things you're concerned about. We've already talked about the growth of government and authoritarianism. That's definitely on the rise. I don't know that most people are even aware of this. The birth dearth continues.
Yeah.
And because people don't even know that. We're going to get below our replenishment rate.
Yeah, so we are already below our replacement birth rate now. So from 2007, we were at, I think, replacement birth rate, which was approximately like 2.6 children for every
child-bearing
woman. Yeah, to keep your population the same or growing. And so we're at, I think it was 1.7. China
That's
is
like
now
Europe.
Below Japan. Yeah, Europe is right behind us, or they're ahead of us in terms of birth dearth. And so this is a concerning trajectory. But I'll tell you what, it's interesting because certain European countries have tried to incentivize people having more children. Still not working.
Yeah.
And I would say I think it's largely a cultural issue.
Oh,
and it has a lot more to do with just where people are, if they're afraid of what's going on in the country. And of course, there's the infertility component to it for some people. But it's a confluence of things, but it is something we need to be watchful
And there's
of.
An increasing number of people my daughter's age, she's 23 and under, that are looking at the condition of the world and saying, why would I want to bring kids into this? And I understand where they're coming from. I really do. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Deaths of despair. This is a huge one. We've seen this over the last 2 years. It's only going to get worse as these dominoes continue to fall. But is that generally what you're talking about there as a result of COVID and shutdowns and everything else?
And the increase in suicide, drug use. Just people losing their sense of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is an area where the church really
Amen.
Needs to dig in and reach out to those who are shut-ins and those who have, during COVID, decided not to live in society anymore.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we need to reach out to them because, this is increasing the rates of depression among the youth. Of course, we see the stats on that, but also older folks, middle-aged folks. It's transcending.
And as followers of Christ, we have the answer to that. The other one that I mentioned, which I'm going to do a little more research on, is learning loss among this generation. Yeah. Specifically tied to shutdowns and everything that's happening.
And particularly there. Affecting minority children. Oh, the they learning loss, we're going to see the effects of that for a generation.
Yeah, yeah, really, really sad. Some great points to consider, things to learn from, and things to look forward to. Brooke, always great to have you. Thanks for coming in. We'll talk again before the Carolina Liberty Conference. That's coming up on February 25th. And once again, how do they get information for that?
LockCLC.com.
LockCLC.com, as in Carolina Liberty Conference. I've got the links up on Facebook Live right now, as well as links to John Locke Foundation in general, and you can check out Brooke's work there, as well as Twitter. What's your handle on Twitter?
It is Brooke_Medina_.
There you go, at Twitter.
And find me on there.
Be careful with that
stuff. Okay.
Be careful. All right. Thanks for coming in. It's great seeing you. God willing, this is Steve Noble. God willing, I'll talk to you guys again. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.